So I thought, by saying, you know, this marriage is nothing to me anymore, my faith in God is much more, well, we married as one with Christ.
All right, that's part of what Alicia has to share with us. It's going to be her entire story coming up in just a moment as she shares how they hit a reset button in their marriage. Dr. Randy here live in our Intentional Living studio along with Amy today. Stephen's out. Thank you, Amy, for your help. And Jennifer, thank you as well. And the phone line is going to be open here in just a moment. I'll give you the number. We're going to talk about marriage, and in particular, I want to focus on this thing of reset. We're at the end of the month, the last call, as it were, to this topic we've been discussing throughout the month on the reset for your marriage. Your reset is like, you know, starting back to factory settings, taking it back to what God's intention is for your marriage. And if you've had a reset in your marriage, you guys just decided, wow, this isn't going in the right direction. Things aren't happening the way they should. And you decided before God to hit a reset button in your marriage. What was it? What did you do? What difference did it make? Help people across the country and around the world listening to our podcast as well understand that a reset is possible. What did you do? How'd you get there, and what difference did it make? Give me a call. 888-888-1717 is the number. 888-888-1717. We're going to get the rest of Elise's call. We've got some great calls coming up as well that from our comment line, a couple that says we don't like to argue, but how do they deal with that? Coming up in just a moment, you can hear from a man who starts by saying, I married the wrong person. You ever feel like that? I married the wrong person. What about this thing of making a contract in your marriage, and it's not working? And then Bonnie's going to tell us in a moment three things that she's doing with her husband to make a difference in their marriage. A lot of hope for you today. You know, if you listen to the radio much, you hear us talk about experience hope. And it got me thinking a lot about how do you experience hope? You know, the definition of hope in our culture generally is to mean something like, you know, if I want it badly enough and I hope for it, like the little train that could, and my desire is strong enough, it's going to happen. That's not a biblical definition of hope. A biblical definition of hope is the confident expectation of what God has already promised and his strength that we see in his life for us, his love for us, is really in his faithfulness. So when we think about hope, hope is about expectations of what God has promised and faithfulness of God's willingness to do that. But we play a part. Our part is obedience. It's not reasonable to expect that if we're disobedient to God in areas of our life, in our marriage, our family, I mean, you could say, for instance, I hope that we get out of debt. I hope we have some financial security. I hope that, and then you spend money or you use a credit card too much, and then we expect God to jump in and solve the problem. So there's an obedience to this. And this is true in marriage as well. I hope my marriage will get better, but then if you're unfaithful in your marriage, it ain't going to get better just because you hope for it. You hope to be a better communicator and have less anger in your marriage. Hope isn't enough. You're going to have to make some changes in how you choose to behave in relationship in that marriage. It is possible. And today you're going to hear stories of people who put legs on their hope and it came to life for them in their marriage. And we'd love to hear from you as well. Come and join us. If you've got an encouraging story, take a minute or two, tell us what it is, how you get a reset in your marriage, what God did through that. Give us a call. 888-888-1717 is the number. And we'd love to have you come and join us. 888-888-1717.
The biggest mistake I ever made was getting married to the woman that I did. But it was also the best thing I ever did. It was a very painful, painful process, but we both have come to Christ, and it's a great marriage that I'm in after 19 and a half years. Now I'm talking to my 15-year-old son. I'm trying to explain to him about women, and so I came upon the thought, what have I learned? How do I summarize it? If you go out with a girl that's a Christian, a true Christian, who believes she has been forgiven of her sins, she is more likely to be able to forgive you. You, son, will make mistakes in the relationship. And it's easier for someone who's been forgiven of their sins to forgive you of your mistakes because they have been forgiven. But those people that have all the pain and anger inside because they have not been forgiven will not forgive you of your mistakes. If you want to have a relationship with a lady, it's better to have one with a Christian because they have been forgiven of their sins and they'll more likely forgive you for your mistakes.
That is so true. And listen, keep preaching it to our sons and daughters. Pray and pick carefully. Pray and pick carefully. All right. When it comes to marriage, you can join us. How did you work through an issue? Maybe hitting the reset or the reset button in your marriage, and what difference did it make? 888-888-1717. Here's the rest of Alicia's story. Take a listen.
Well, I heard what she was saying, and it brought a lot of things from what I did, because I was that person that just said, I'm done. I don't want to do this anymore. I've only been married for about a year and a half, and I just was like, I'm done. I'm not finding myself. And I felt like I lost myself in the marriage rather than my faith and the word of God that I had stood firm in whenever I first got married. And it like drifted. So I thought, by saying, you know, this marriage is nothing to me anymore, my faith in God is much more, well, we married as one with Christ. So I had to really put myself away. So we separated. I moved in with my dad for a few months, and it took our time alone to figure out that the marriage was much more important and that she should not lose hope. But sorry, I'm going to cry.
Sorry. What brought you guys back together? I'm assuming you did come back together, right?
Yes, yes, we are together. Yeah. We moved into a new home, and right, it had a lot to do with the things I've learned from your show, is the factors of that could hurt a marriage, like my parents. They're always there, they're always around, and they override my authority with my kids, you know, that those things kind of, they make a huge play. So we made a lot of those changes that I learned from your show, and it's really worked. Like, it's just really worked. And we're going to a, before I say I do class at our church.
Good.
It's still for people before, but also people that are married, to the tools to work through your marriage.
Alicia, listen, you started in a way sounding discouraged and ended with victory. Listen, if you're in a marriage today and you're struggling, can I encourage you, before you pull the plug or bail out, that you really, really seek God at a deep, deep level? And maybe you're already doing that right now, and I understand that. You're saying, well, you don't understand, my spouse is not interested, or my spouse is not interested in continuing to see this marriage work. I tell people, work on where you are, what issues you're facing, where you are, because you can only manage the 3-foot rule within 3 foot of yourself. That's your own attitude, your own voice, your own life. And the question really comes down to, what one thing can you do to hit a reset in your own life? And maybe today, as you hear some of these stories from others who've hit a reset, it'll encourage you. If you want to join us, we're live here in the Intentional Living Studio today. 888-888-1717 is the number. And you're thinking about one thing that you and your spouse decided to make a difference in your marriage, to kind of have a reset in your marriage. What was that one thing? All right. Coming up after the break, we're going to hear from Mark. He made a big decision, and the decision had to do with how he viewed his wife. Not only his attitude, but his view of marriage and his wife. We'll hear that coming up in a couple minutes.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
An expectation reset will build, I think it'll build more intimacy in your marriage. You've heard me say that expectations, whenever they're greater than reality, it creates disappointment in the marriage relationship. I really encourage you to sit down with your spouse and think about, what are 4 or 5 things that you expect from marriage? What are some things that are important to you? And exchange that list and then be able to talk about it. Because at the end of the day, when we're not meeting the expectations of our spouse, even though our intentions are good, it's going to create disappointment and disillusionment, and sometimes great discouragement in the marriage relationship. Last call for this month, really, at the end of the month here, to get in on the receiving the teaching or from our master class on the topic of a marriage reset. Those of you who are part of our intentional living community, you receive the master class automatically through email, both video and audio. But if you're not, come and be a part of the team. Your prayers and support for intentional living allow us to do this every day to help work on helping people with their marriages and their family. And ultimately, people coming to Christ, being obedient to Christ, as the scripture says, to figure out what pleases him and then doing it. That's intentional living. So if you're not a part of the team, come and join today. We'll make sure you receive the teaching on this topic of a reset for marriage. Go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. If you've just joined us, we're talking to you from our Intentional Living Center in Tucson today live. And when we get a chance to be on the air here for a half hour or so, we open up the phone lines and just say, come and join us. Tell us your story today. I'd love to hear one thing. What is one thing that you have done in your marriage? Was it in the area of communication? Was it forgiveness? Maybe it was something you decided to change a habit. One thing that you said in our marriage we worked on that have made a difference that we want to pass along to others who are listening today. 888-888-1717. Mark wants to share his one thing, and it was a big one. Take a listen.
My take is that for most of my adult life, I've been with my wife since I was 15 and became a Christian at about 35. And when I started to think about my relationship with her, I happened to be listening to, I think it was Dr. Dobson had something on there which I thought was insane when he said that he wouldn't even have a cup of coffee with another person of the opposite sex. And so I started thinking about that and praying about it. And I came to the conclusion that I needed to change about my relationship and quit taking my wife for granted. So I started to go back to old school things. I hold the door for her, and I've listened to y'all talk about it too, about reminding her that I love her and that I'll never leave her, and try to be kind to her to the point where she wants to be with me and desires to have nobody else please her in any other way. So God has been really awesome about changing me in so many ways. I can't even begin to tell you, but one of the great ways is to make my marriage after all these years so much stronger than it ever has been. So I praise God for that.
That's fantastic. You know, the best predictor of future behavior is past behavior. And at one point in your past, you decided to go in a different direction. And my guess is that's easier now. It's more of a habit today, a healthy habit in your life today than it was when you started that.
Absolutely. You're so right, because when I talk to people in my church and things about that, it is a habit. We take our wives for granted. Somebody once said to me, I hope you treat waitresses better than you treat your wife. And I started to think about how true that was. If somebody brings you a Coke at your table, you say, oh, thank you, and your wife brings you one, and you don't even break stride in your conversation. And so just being intentional, as funny as it sounds, treat my wife like a stranger, you know? Be kind and courteous and respect her like you do sometimes more to strangers than you do to the one who loves you most.
That's great.
And so it's been a great blessing.
That's good. Thank you, Mark. Appreciate that. Listen, a lot of wisdom there. You want to turn a marriage around. Sometimes it can be as simple as doing what Mark just said, just starting to connect with your spouse around the things that are important to him or her, showing appreciation, showing love and respect, being aware of their needs. Those things are powerful. You think what the Bible says, you know, about what love is, you know, it's patient, it's kind, it's long-suffering, doesn't keep record of wrong. Just follow some of the principles that we see in the commands about love in 1 Corinthians 13. It can make a difference in our marriage, in our life, boy. And it can result in less pain down the road. All right, Bonnie wants to weigh in. She's got three things that she and her husband have decided to do in their marriage. Take a listen.
You know, about a year and a half ago, my husband and I started the practice of every morning before he goes to work or on weekends before we get going with our day, sitting down across from each other. And first we share three things that we're grateful for. Then we also share two things that we appreciate about the other person. And then we do one thing that we think is a strength in our marriage or that we appreciate about our marriage. And that's just made a world of difference, making things more positive where they were negative before. and just kind of giving us some fuel for the day. Being grateful is really an important part. I'd had a practice of doing that and writing down grateful things. But we'd had some marriage classes at church, and they talked about, you know, expressing gratitude. But we just found that this simple little formula for us, 3-2-1, three things we're grateful for, two things we like about you, one thing we really like about our marriage, just seemed to work. And so that's what we've been doing.
Good for you, Bonnie. Listen, 3-2-1, I like that. You know, when we have a habit, you know, part of what we teach with intentional living is not only having the right goals, the right destination, but then it's our daily action. It's what we do. Our Christian walk includes being faithful in what we do next. And we try to help people see that by doing the next right one thing, those one things add up. And over a period of time, it can make a huge difference, in this case, in your marriage. You're welcome to join in. Where's one thing in your marriage that's made a difference, or one thing you're wrestling with? We can pray with you about and give you some input. 888-888-1717. Christina, it sounds like you guys have been on a journey in your own marriage.
My heart goes out to her, and I want to tell her that there is absolutely hope, and it's all through Christ. I have been married for 22 years, and my husband works for a company that has them traveling throughout the different states. And I have three children also, and I also work, but I stay in town. 2 years ago, he called me out of the blue, blindsided, and said he wanted out of the marriage. He said he simply wasn't happy and didn't really get into detail. When he got back home, he finally admitted that he had met somebody, and it wasn't anything serious, but that he wanted to see if he could find happiness elsewhere. I, of course, begged them to not throw 20 years, you know, away, and we went to counseling. He was not a believer. I have always believed in God, and I didn't consider myself a believer, but I always look to God through different trials and tribulations throughout my life with our children and just life in general. So I told him, I forgive you, we can get through this. We went to our counselor, he recommended counseling, and we went to Christian counseling, and out of that counseling, he realized that he didn't love himself, and he felt like nobody really loved him, truly loved him. His family is very troubled. He's always been a good man, a good provider, very loving. That's why I was blindsided, because I, you know, he was very loving. And he accepted Christ has felt the love of Christ. And this happened 2 years ago, and we're doing great. And I would rate it out of 10.
Leave this one thing for your children after you're gone. Hi, I'm Dr. Randy Carlson with an Intentional Living Minute. A godly heritage is an important thing to leave to the next generation, because I'm reminded of what my mother used to say to us when we were boys. She would say, you know, kids, you guys are a generation that will live into a time that I will never see. That's why leaving a heritage with our kids and our grandkids is so important. It says in Psalm 78:4 that we will not hide these truths from our children. We will tell the next generation about the glorious deeds of the Lord, about His power and His mighty wonders. One thing that we can do, especially during this pandemic time, is to make sure that we're leaving a heritage, teaching our children the truth. And when we do, that's intentional living.
Go to theintentionallife.com/minute to get the Intentional Living Minute in your email every day.
And I hope you will do that. Again, go to theintentionallife.com, and our Intentional Living Minute goes out around the world to people, just encouraging every day. Today, we're talking about marriage, and coming up here in just a moment, we're going to be hearing from a caller who Nina's going to talk about the fact they've been divorced, remarried, been through everything. I mean, this is a lady who's going to tell us marriage can't get much lower than theirs. Can't get much lower than theirs. And yet she learned some important lessons for herself. And I would say, as we talk about marriage, the most important thing is to begin with ourselves. We can't control our spouse. We can't change our spouse. We can't change another person. That's why I always use that little 3-foot rule. Sometimes when I teach, I'll put down a 3-foot rug that I'll stand on, you know, 3-foot across, that says basically that's about the extent of my control. what I say, what I feel, how I respond, what I do personally, but I don't have control over another person. In our marriage, that can be very difficult. And if you're struggling in your marriage, to remember that if we begin with ourselves, begin with our relationship with Christ, and be honest with ourselves. What one thing could I do over the next 30 days that would make the single biggest difference in my relationship with my spouse? And if we can do that without looking through the critical eye of, yeah, but they're not doing that, which is easy to do, right? Tit for tat, we want to hold someone accountable. And so it's easy for us to get caught in the trap of losing what Christ commands us to do in terms of learning to love our spouse. And so I want you to hear Nina's story from the standpoint of where they have been and how she's learning some lessons in her own life. Take a listen.
About 45 years ago, my husband and I were married. We were together for 7 years, split up for 7 years, divorced the whole nine yards. And then about 35 years ago, we went through counseling, and I thought the Lord was going to be dealing with him. I mean, we all know he had issues, right? There was infidelity, drugs, just about everything you can imagine. And, of course, the Lord had a big work to do in me as well. And as I was going through the counseling, I didn't want to get back together. There was no trust there. I didn't think there ever could be. And going through it, I really became even more and more confused because my husband wanted to get back together. But one day I was really crying out to the Lord and saying, Lord, how can I ever trust him again? But it certainly seemed like the Lord audibly spoke to me and said, do you trust me? And I gulped and I said, yes, Lord, but and in the middle of my butt, I was dumbstruck. And I realized that the Lord was saying to me that I had to put my husband in his hands. And so I said, okay, if that's what you want me to do. We got remarried, and we've been together 30 years now. And he's got the same name, but he's a totally different man. You can trust the Lord. It's been so revolutionary and so different. I'm still to this day blown away.
Mm. Thank you, Nina. I know the stories don't always end with a happy ending like that. I understand that. And I know every journey, every person you're listening today with whatever you're facing is unique to your situation. But the principles that we share with you from Scripture apply. Trusting God, right? Trusting God, knowing that he's ultimately in charge. Being the right person, knowing that every day that our goal is to grow in Christ, grow in our relationship with him, know what Scripture teaches, what is God's intention for us in our relationship with other people, especially our spouse, and then responding in a way that brings honor and glory to God. And in the result of all that, we believe and we've seen evidence of is benefit to ourselves as well. All right, we got another one. Karen wants to share a little bit of her story. She's going to tell you that they just don't like to argue all that much. Take a listen.
Hi, my name is Karen. My husband and I, neither one of us like to really argue or fight because we came from very loud homes. So we step away from each other, calm down, give each other some time to cool off and sit down and talk about it. But if one of us is outstepping our boundaries, we did agree when we first got married that the other has the right to say something. You know, don't yell at me for something that someone else may be mad about, and I will say something and so will he. And we might get mad and, you know, because of what was said, but we eventually, within 5 or 10 minutes, realized it was a mistake. I shouldn't take it on you. And we always apologize for our wrongs, and the other accepts the apology. So that's what we do, and now we've been married for 20 years. Thank God. Amen.
Amen. Listen, that's why you're married for 20 years, probably. All right. Thank you for sharing that with us today. Hey, you know what, Jennifer? I think we have time for one more comment, and I would let you know that our phone lines will remain open if you want to share in our storyline your story of one thing in your marriage at 888-888-1717. That's 888-888-1717. 1717. We've been talking marriage today here at the end of the month. It's also a reminder, the last call for the Reset in Marriage Masterclass coming from our Intentional Living Center. It's gone out to our members. And if you're not a member, come and join us. Your monthly support, whatever it is that God lays on your heart, will go to help us reach more people for Christ. I hope you'll make that decision and go to theintentionallife.com or during West Coast business hours, call 888-888-1717. Here's TJ to close up the show today.
My question is, when you're already trying to work on yourself, you know, to do whatever you can because you know that you can't change someone else, and there's still no real reprieve, it's still staying the same because we both have two different ideologies about what's important.
Well, yeah.
I guess I'm wondering because as I'm trying to be a better person, I'm trying to be more sensitive. I do whatever I can. It's not necessarily that I want everything to him just to do anything. It's just I'm so uncovered because what we decided on before we got married disappeared. And we have two different standards in the house.
You know, the sad stories that we hear so often here at Intentional Living, I recognize could be changed and changed quickly, really. I've seen it happen in the lives of people in counseling who have made a decision that they're sick and tired. I'm sick and tired, and we're going to make a decision to do something better. Now, some people make a decision to say, I'm out of here. I'm gone. Other people say, listen, God put this together, and yeah, we're struggling with some real issues, but we're going to trust God, and together, and it takes people together to do this, together, we're going to work on our marriage. So can I encourage those of you today that maybe you say that's what we need is a big reset, to reach out. Maybe it's to your pastor, to a Christian counselor, maybe to a support group or marriage class at your church, to get the support for yourselves to rebuild or to build or start over a relationship that will bring glory to God and benefit to yourself and to your family. Would you do that? I'm Dr. Randy. Thank you, Amy. Thank you, Jennifer, and to each of you for participating in the show today. And again, for those who are supporting the ministry, allowing us to do this, God bless you, and thank you for being a part of Intentional Living. I'm Dr. Randy, and we'll see you next time from Intentional Living.